This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithfulness bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can find me on facebook.com/botfpodcast. You can find me on Instagram at botfpodcast. And this episode especially, if for any reason you want to reach out, if you want to know you're not alone, if you want to know that there's other resources out there or other people to connect with, you can always email me, Jenna@botfpodcast.com. And this episode, I know by the title, might interest you. And I feel like there are two different groups of people that are going to be listening to this episode. And the first group is those that are just curious. What is she talking about? Why does she want to give up? What is going on? Has she lost her mind? Let's check in on her. Or I'm just curious what's going to be said, because that's just an interesting title. And those people hopefully aren't here to judge what I have to say, because the feelings that I'm going to be sharing in this are real and they're really vulnerable. And this is kind of a scary episode for me to do, but I'm realizing more and more as I talk to more mom friends that I'm not alone in how I feel in this. And a lot of other moms are really feeling alone in that too. They've reached out feeling some of the feelings I've been struggling with, especially probably since all of the quarantine stuff started, but the summer in general has just been rough. So those of you that are just curious to see what's going on, yes, I'm okay. If that's what you're worried about, this is, I promise, going to be an encouraging episode and not super depressing, but I hope you're not here to think, wow, how can a mom ever say anything like that? Or if it were me, I would never take motherhood for granted or anything like that, because I used to be like that. I just want anyone who's listening that might be thinking that and wanting to come here and judge all the stuff I have to say, that I'm really glad that you haven't had to feel what I've been feeling and what so many other moms have been feeling. And I hope you never have to. But at the same time, if you do get to this point in your motherhood journey, you can always come back and listen with a different set of ears. Or if you just want something to gossip about, this is not the episode for you. However, if you just want to listen to understand or see where I'm at or what other moms go through, their situations are not going to be the same as mine. But if you just want to know what goes through the mind of a mom who's just in an epic either crisis or struggle or whatever in their motherhood journey, this is an episode to help you understand. Now, the other people that are listening are those moms that are sitting here. I'm recording this in the summer. I'll probably release this in July. So those moms that are sitting in whatever mom's struggle that they're in, wanting to literally throw in the towel, leave, maybe for good, maybe just for a couple of days while you regroup, which is totally fine. And if you need that, find someone to help you make that happen. But if you're just finding yourself wishing you were somewhere else in a different life, in a different situation, that you could just leave it all and have all of that responsibility taken off of you, this episode is for you, because this is to let you know that you're not alone, that there is hope, that there are resources. My story may not be the same as yours. What I'm struggling with is probably not what you are, but you'll resonate with some stuff that I have to say. I'm sure that all of this is universal in the sense that we all struggle with specific things, and we're going to get to what those are in a little bit. But I just want you to know that this episode is for you, to encourage you, not to encourage you to leave your family, but to encourage you to keep strong, to keep going, even when you don't want to, because I'm in one of those seasons in life right now. So this is for you. Before we get into any deep content or anything like that, I just want you all to know where I'm at and why I'm feeling this way. And like I said, this is something kind of scary to talk about, because this is really vulnerable. This is really raw. Things that I have dealt with, things that I struggle with, and you may relate to some of it, you may not. You may not even understand why I'm dealing with this at all, but just to know where I'm at hopefully can help you figure out where you are as well. So my motherhood journey started with 3 years of infertility. And you can learn a little bit more of that back in my, I actually did a whole series on infertility. So if you do happen to be a mom going through infertility, wondering how in the world a mom could ever feel this way when all you want is a baby, you can go back to those episodes and those will be incredibly encouraging to you. It starts with infertility is never the end of the story, and you'll be able to find that in my archive of episodes. And that talks a little bit about my own personal journey. And since that time, which my journey, like I said, was 3 years, but I know people who have gone longer, people who have been shorter. So it's not a competition on who had the longer infertility journey, because I know some of you went through much more painful situations, much longer situations. I'm not saying mine was the worst ever. Because of that pain that I went through during that, it sent me into probably my biggest struggle in motherhood right now, of sending me into a time when I just built these unrealistic expectations of what I was going to be as a mom. You know, there's always the person who doesn't have kids yet that thinks, hey, I'm never going to lose my temper, or I'll never make a decision like that with my children. All these things that would mortify them if they knew that they might do someday, or that other moms have done. You know, there are different situations with different pasts that you grew up in that maybe make you think, I'm never going to be like that when I'm a mom, or I'm never going to make this choice that my parents made. And so much expectations and dreams and perfectionism that I went through as I dreamt of what mom I wanted to be. For me, I wanted to be that whimsical mom that always read stories and played games with their kids and made up these imaginary worlds with them and just have all of these magical memories with their kids, which I do try to do. But when I made up those dreams, I forgot that there's discipline and there's instruction and boundary making, and there's also dishes and sleep deprivation that I had no idea was going to be to the extreme that it was. And when you mix that with drama of family and friends and trying to juggle jobs and chores, keeping the house at least not moldy. It's not clean. My house is not clean, but it's getting better now that my kids are getting older and can help. You know, organization is not my friend and not my talent, but there are all these things that when you're dreaming of the mom you want to be, you forget that you have other responsibilities and other things that you have to get done. And so the things that you thought you'd be able to do, or that you thought you would prioritize, maybe change when it's reality. And that can make you feel so many different things. It can make you feel like a failure. It can make you feel like you're neglecting. It can make you feel like you're a bad mom, and all the mom guilt and all of those things. And that is definitely something that I really struggle with now, is that, yeah, I'm not the mom that I thought I was going to be when I dreamt about it as a teenager, dreaming about, you know, the kids, like naming my children back when I was a teenager. I have not kept any of those names that I picked. And then the dreams that you make as you watch other parents where you, I was judgmental. So I was that person where I watch parents in the grocery store or at the restaurant and think, I would never do it like that. Or as you look back at your own childhood and things that you wish your parents had done differently that you want to do. And sometimes you do differently, and other times you realize your parents actually knew what they were talking about. There's both sides of that story. And then for me, the added thing of infertility and just wanting a baby so badly and wanting everything to be so perfect, and how that kind of that dream shatters a little bit when, first of all, life just never goes the way you expect it to. Motherhood is not what you dream it to be, especially when you have all of these things romanticizing motherhood, which, not that it isn't romantic and not that it isn't lovely and not that it isn't beautiful, because it's all of those things, but it's also raw and hard work and blood, sweat, and tears and poop and all of these things thrown in, lots of boogers, I hate boogers, and all of these things thrown at you that you just weren't expecting and maybe weren't prepared for, or even if you were prepared for it, it's still hard when you're tired and all of these things. So all of these expectations that I had on myself, thinking I can do this on my own, I'm an awesome person. Pride is really another issue that I have. But thinking I'm a capable adult woman who has been longing for a child, we're going to make this work and make it perfect. And all of these things made a really bad start for surviving motherhood with a healthy mindset without something happening to help make that better. And that's the other thing, is when you're a mom, especially in those early years where I am just still at, I'm still at the early years. My kids range, my oldest is 7. And I am currently pregnant with twins. That'll make 5 children. So I'm still in the really early stage. You have to do everything for them, from wiping their noses and their butts to cleaning their rooms for them to doing all of the chores for that many people and all the things that they require, like the emotional needs, the physical needs, they aren't able to do a lot of that for themselves. My older two are starting to get to a stage where they can, and that's helpful. And I feel like I can breathe again a little bit when it comes to that. But there's just that stage of motherhood where you feel like you've completely lost yourself, where you are so many things for so many people. You're trying to hold the house down if that's your role. If you're a stay-at-home mom where you're all you're doing all day is taking care of people all the time and there's no break, not even at night, there's just no break. Or if you are a working mom like I used to be, I used to be a nurse and a mom and trying to juggle those where the responsibilities of two different things, which for me, it was taking care of people at work or taking care of people at home. And I love my job as a mom and as a nurse, but that is just emotionally and physically draining. And so much of it, you lose yourself. You forget, like, what do I actually like to do? And what would I do in my own free time? And then you laugh because what is free time? There's no break. And when you get away from your kids, then you're longing for them because you miss them. Usually, that's not always the case. And the older your kids get, the less you feel that. When it comes to first-time mom with a brand new baby, there's always that mom guilt of, I'm leaving them. They're gonna never forgive me. To, okay, great. I'll see you in a week. Those things. But you just forget what your passions are, or you don't think they matter. That self-care is a big word right now, and I'm still trying to decide how I feel about it, because I absolutely agree that self-care is something you need for mental health, for being a better mom. When I get out and get a little bit of a break, then I am always way more refreshed and can do that. But at the same time, I think people might put too much credibility into self-care and how that's going to make everything better, because no matter how much self-care I do, I'm still going to deal with some of these other issues that make motherhood hard. So yes, I am all about self-care. Do things that refresh you, that give you that energy, that boost, get a pedicure, get a massage, read a book in the tub, all of those different things. Go to Target by yourself. Whatever works that makes you feel like you can breathe again, that you feel refreshed. Those are all really good things, but that's not going to take away all of the issues of motherhood. So yes, that's going to fill your cup. It's not going to fill it all the way, because only one person can do that. At the same time, I do find it incredibly important. And that is definitely something you should stop and think about. And if you want to talk about it with someone, I'm here to help you figure that out, or find a friend that knows you well enough to know that's what's going to refresh you, what's going to refuel, what's going to make you a better mom when you aren't so uptight. Because if you're like me and you go too long, then you're going to just explode because you've cared and cared and cared and done nothing for yourself to help boost that, that you can totally just blow up. And I've been in those situations. So if that has happened to you, you're not alone. Another issue that I have been dealing with recently, besides my unrealistic expectations and my forgetfulness to take care of myself sometimes, is that there are different stages in childhood, and I haven't even gotten to the teenage years, so I'm a little scared about this, but where your kids are just awful. Sometimes it's the twos, where one minute they're an angel, the next minute they're throwing themselves on the floor in the middle of the grocery store screaming because you told them they can't have Lucky Charms. Or if you're like me, I have a special needs child who recently has really struggled. And there are moments that range from just being grumpy and not wanting to do it to, if you say no to him, he will literally throw stuff at your head. And that's hard, because for me, I don't know how you feel about the Enneagram, but for me, I'm an Enneagram 2. The most important thing for me is to help people, to show them I love them by helping them through situations and taking care of them. But the thing that makes me feel the worst is when it is not appreciated or not reciprocated. I'm not expecting my 7-year-old to take care of me, but when he literally takes what I'm doing to take care of him and throws it back in my face, that's hard. And I know that that happens to not just special needs parents. He's just trying to express himself in some really fun ways, and that's getting a lot better now, but was awful for about 6 weeks. You know, I know this happens in teenage years where they think you're dumb or they don't care about what you have to say and they make their own choices still, or they hate that you are putting boundaries on them that they don't feel they should have. All of those things where it is just unappreciated, all the stuff that you do. There's a time during that where I really struggle with the love your enemies thing that Jesus tells us to do. You know, that kind of important, you should love your enemies, bless those that curse you kind of thing. And I never in my entire life up till now thought that my enemy could be my child, or at least be presented through my child. And this is me not saying that my child is my enemy, but it's also a reminder that in relationships, when things are rough, it's not necessarily the person that's the enemy. It's the motivations behind it. What's causing this? How is Satan using this person against me? And first of all, spiritual warfare when Satan uses your child is probably the thing that makes me the most angry. How dare he use my kids against me in that way? And when you're in that situation where your kid is the person that is the hardest for you to deal with, where your relationship issues are with your own child, someone that you love with your entire heart, and they can hurt you so easily, just has its own special way of fighting, because it's not like you can get away from them. And it's not that you can leave them. You love them. You want to take care of them. They're your responsibility. You can't just write them off, at least not while they're living in your house and need you. You know, I can't write off my 2-year-old. Not that I want to, but the situations. And as a mom, there are times, I'm sure, as your adult children are not working well with you. And that's a whole different pain that I know has to be so painful. So if there are any moms out there like that who have not related too much with me because I am still in the young kid stage, know that I'm praying for you as you listen to this, that I know that those boundaries and those situations where your kid is not respecting you or loving you back despite all the things that you've done for them and how painful that has to be, I just want to validate that for you. But there are definitely times in this motherhood journey where I feel like my kids are my enemy, that they're either out to get me, that they hate me, they tell me they hate me, it feels like they hate me, I know they don't really hate me, but when they're telling you they hate you and throwing stuff at you or screaming or just not obeying what you're saying and making stupid choices, even though you've tried to guide them in the right way. And that's the hardest thing I've learned, is that you can't make your kids make choices. It's just not something that you can do. I love control, and that's something I really struggle with. But there are times where your enemy is actually presented through your children. And that is a really hard thing to go through and something I've been struggling with a lot recently. Another reason that I feel like giving up is just the whole mom guilt thing. And this is something I feel like we don't talk about enough, and partially because, because there's mom guilt. You already feel guilty. Why would you want to admit that to anyone? And there are definitely situations where it might not be safe to talk about your mom guilt. There are certain relationships you should not talk about, the things that you feel guilty about, because you can't trust that person with those secrets, or if you think they might use it against you. So be very careful with who you share your mom guilt with. But it's so important that you find those people that you feel safe with, that you can talk about, because once you get it out, you can either get encouragement from your friends or instruction from your friends or advice that hopefully is not annoying, or that you're ready to be in a place to take advice when it comes to things about mom guilt. But mom guilt is such a big hold on us, especially these days. And I think part of it is because of social media, where you can see all the Pinterest perfect situations and birthday parties or vacations or times when moms go and do things with their kids. One is, for me, it's all these toddler activities that you do with your kids where you sit down and you do these things. But for me, my kids have never actually sat down and done them for more than 10 minutes. And that's probably what actually happens in real life. They just take pictures of it and post it on social media and you build those memories. But I either don't have the patience for a lot of those activities, or I can't stand how messy they get. Or again, I have a special needs kid. They don't always end well. So there's so many different things about mom guilt. Am I doing enough? I'm not doing what all these people on social media are doing. I have not made this Pinterest perfect bedroom. I have not done their birthday party in a way that all the other moms do. I haven't taken them on these vacations that seem magical with lots of family memories, which I can almost guarantee you have lots of arguing and yelling in between the pictures, or you're not balancing the time with your kids as well as you thought you were going to, being pulled away in so many different directions between chores, your husband or your spouse, or relationships outside of your children, each individual child, and the more you have, the harder it is to do those one-on-one things. If you have a job, there's a lot of mom guilt with the time that you miss, whether you send them to a daycare if you feel guilty about that, or if you feel guilty about having a babysitter. I really struggled with thinking I'm letting someone else raise my kid when I'm not at home, which is what people need to do sometimes. And God's going to totally take care of that in that sense, where when you ask him, he will provide the right person and the right situation and all of that. So there is no mom guilt in having to work and leave your kid with someone if that's the situation that you're in right now. But that's all the different things that we all go through as moms with mom guilt. And that's just the things that I'm not. What about the things that you have done? Like, I lost my temper. And maybe it wasn't even just I lost my temper, but I really, really lost my temper. I've done that. Here's one situation that was really recent where I completely lost my mind. Was I had one kid having a temper tantrum, another kid crying because I wasn't giving her the toy that she wanted in the timely manner that she thought. While I'm trying to calm both of them down, my other child just walks up to me, plops the remote in my lap, and walks away, expecting me to just magically know what he wanted and to turn on his show while I'm in the middle of dealing with two high emotionally stressful things. So did he do necessarily the quote worst thing at that moment? No. But was he the one to get my wrath? Yes, because it's almost funny when I look back at it now. But I've got a kid screaming at me. I've got another kid just losing her mind, wailing because she's not getting the toy she wants, both of them for ridiculous reasons. And then my third kid thinks it's a great time to plop a remote in my lap and expect me to just magically make all of his desires come true. And so I let him know that I didn't appreciate that in not so nice of a way. And that's not necessarily the worst thing I've done as a mom. There are things that I could go back and I would change in a heartbeat that I wish I could take away. And there's lots of mom guilt in that. And for me, messing up that big is really hard to get over. When I let someone down in that way, and we're all going to let our kids down. And if you haven't yet, congratulations, but you're going to. And if you don't think you have, and your kids are 18, then you might need to ask them if you've let them down or something. You don't need that. But we're just all going to do that because we're human. We're not God. We can't be perfect. Perfectionism plus actually messing up plus feeling like you've let people down plus all of the responsibilities of a mom and wife and worker or all of the things that you have going on in your life can just be so overwhelming. And the last thing that I really struggle with when I have all of that is feeling like a failure, because I do with that pride and I deal with those expectations and I deal with perfectionism and all of these things where I try to do it all on my own because I think I'm capable enough. And that leads to feeling like such a failure sometimes, that my family would be better off without me, which is not true for me and it's not true for you. So let me just say that right there. But I have had the feelings that maybe I should just leave because I've messed up so much, or I have not given them what they need. They'd be better off with someone else, or at least better off without me to make things worse. I have had those feelings, and if you have had those feelings, you are not alone. So now that you know some of my dirty laundry when it comes to motherhood, which is not even beginning to scrape the surface of all the things that I have done wrong or neglected to do or failed at doing or totally messed up, my biggest issue when it comes to that is that I thought I was doing it on my own, and I thought I had to, and I thought I could, and I'm learning the reality of that. So one of the big things that God is doing in my life right now, and probably yours, if you're having these moments like I have been having recently, is that sometimes God has to break us down to build us up. And it's painful. those moments where God is pointing to the exact thing that doesn't look like him. And I've seen this cliche and this used a lot, and I know it's overused, but in this case, we're going to bring it back up. But they talk about a sculptor who wants their marble or their rock or whatever they're working with to match what they have in their mind. And in order to do that, when it comes to a big slab of marble, is that you have to take things away. You don't mold it necessarily like with clay, but you have to chisel things away. So when it comes to motherhood for me, there's been a lot of chiseling lately. But what I've learned in all of this, even in those moments where I'm literally asking God why we're going through this and where are you, is that I keep getting reminded that God never breaks things down unless he's planning on building something up. He's not going to break you down, break your heart, chisel things away unless he has a specific picture in his mind of what he's trying to turn you into. And so you have to remember that there is an end product, that he's not just randomly throwing a hammer at you and letting things break and hoping it just turns out pretty. He's got specific things in mind. And one of my other episodes, she talked about how heart surgery would look absolutely barbaric to someone who didn't understand medicine. If you walked in on someone who's had their chest cracked open and someone working on your heart, it would look like they were trying to kill you. And we know now with medicine that it's actually what needs to be done to get to the root of the problem. And so sometimes in motherhood, often, God is doing heart surgery because there's nothing more humbling and more representative of our relationship with God than parenting. I can tell you that nothing has taught me more about God's character and his love for me until I became a mom. And obviously, there are so many other ways to grow close to God and to understand his character. And for each person, that's going to be different. So if you're single, or if you are going through infertility, or if motherhood is not in your journey, thank you for listening to this episode. And hopefully it will help you understand a mom that you love that is struggling. But there are other ways that God is going to teach you about his character and bring you close to him. So don't think that I'm saying motherhood is the only way to understand our relationship with God. There is so much about motherhood that has made me realize how much he goes through when he loves us, how painful it must be to make us and create us and build us when we reject him or when we disobey him, or the love that he has for us just because we're his. When he looks at us, he sees us as something in his image. Just like when I look at my daughter, who looks so much like me, there's so much of me in her. And that brings not the bad kind of pride, but a really cool kind of pride. Like, I made that. She's part of me. That is part of my own DNA in something that I love. And it's its own separate thing. She makes her own decisions. I can't make them. And God allows us to make our own decisions to choose him and choose his ways or not. And how frustrated I get when they don't do what I know is best for them, or how painful it is when they reject me and my love for them because of the moment or how they're feeling, and how much of that is how God has shown me how he feels about me, and how no matter what I do, he's always going to love me. And that's how he's building me into my motherhood journey. So there's so much of that that has been beautiful in this breaking down as he humbles me and shows me more of himself through my own parenting fails, if that makes any sense. So I want to talk a little bit about emotional drifting and the big thing that I have struggled with recently in my own motherhood journey and why I've wanted to give up. And that is because it's just so easy to drift with the emotions of motherhood when things are going great, when my kids are behaving really well and they show me that they love me and they say they paint a picture for me or draw a picture for me and they snuggle with me and everything is going great. It is easy for me to say, hey, I'm an awesome mom because I made these really cool kids who love me and everything's going great today and we've had no major issues, no temper tantrums. My kids are obeying me for once in their life and all of these things are going awesome. And it's really easy for me to look at that moment and say, I've got this. I'm a great mom. Look at these kids that are awesome. And then usually within 24 hours, the next day, I've got a two-year-old throwing an epic raging tantrum because I didn't get her toy in time like before, or just the terrible twos in general. I've got kids who lie because they don't want to get in trouble, or sass mouthing, or they don't behave at the grocery store well, or even I have to leave the grocery grocery store because they are not behaving well at all. And it's easy for me to take those moments where things are going so wrong to think I'm such an awful mom because I can't get kids that behave or do the things that need to be done or that don't look a certain way in that specific day. It's really easy for me to be swayed to follow those emotions and think that that is the barometer of how well I'm doing as a mom. And I'm realizing that I really need to learn how to anchor myself in Jesus in those moments. And again, another shameless plug, but there's an episode called Anchored Motherhood with Tina Smith. That was the first episode of this whole motherhood series. And that's a really great episode to listen to. And actually, all of them talk a little bit about anchoring our emotions and our situations in Jesus. And recently, I'm not gonna lie, it's been really hard. Because I'm sitting here in a really rough season with my children while pregnant with twins. Emotionally, I am completely on edge, both between the hormones and just how rough it's been recently with my children's behavior and respect and all of that. It took so long for things to feel like they were going in any direction other than down. Where in the morning I would actually have almost panic attacks just wondering how awful the day was going to be. And when things were going well, I would let myself breathe a little bit and relax a little bit. But in the second that anything started to even turn toward rough waters, I would instantly almost panic and overreact. And then my own emotions would affect everybody else's emotions. Your whole household can change just because one person spilled their milk and I lost it, and that affects the whole day. You know, all of these things that were just so hard. It wasn't even milk. It was just tantrum after tantrum or not knowing how to make things better for my family. The hormones, I'm sure, and the anxiety of all the responsibilities and feeling like you're on your own having to do these things. And just because nobody knows exactly what I went through, what I go through, doesn't mean there aren't people who understand what it feels like to feel that out of control as a mom. So again, please reach out to me or someone else if you're in a situation that, yes, nobody really understands what you're going through. Either they don't see it or they don't understand because of your family dynamic. If you're a single mom trying to do this all on your own, if you're a special needs mom with a child that is not responding to discipline or is flat out scary sometimes with their tantrums, or you've got sassy mouth teenagers that are making stupid decisions that you don't know how to help get into their head and help them make better decisions, whatever stage you're in when it comes to motherhood, there are times where you're in those rough waters. I know I've talked about this story before, and there's multiple places in the Bible, in the Gospels, where it talks about, but I'm going to go to Luke 8. It starts at verse 22. It goes through verse 25. And I just realized this is only, what, four verses of the whole Bible, and how powerful it is and how much story is behind these words. But this is the story of when the disciples and Jesus go into a boat and they sail across it, and Jesus settles down for a nap because he's probably tired having healed people right before this. He was doing parables, people needing him and not giving him a break, kind of like motherhood, where they just need and need and need. And so Jesus needed a nap. And what mom doesn't know what it's like to need a nap? So there's that. But when Jesus settled down for a nap, a fierce storm came on the lake and the boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. Now, this group of disciples, many of them were fishermen. They understood what it's like to sail in a boat across a lake. And when they're scared, it's got to be pretty bad. So we've got scared disciples in a situation that they think they have it under control because this is something that they're actually decent at. And Jesus is napping and they're scared and they realize that Jesus is still sleeping. I've always wondered how they felt. Real danger is here, and Jesus seems to not even care, so much so that he's asleep. And it's one of the first times that I really realized there's a storm in my life and it feels like Jesus is sleeping. It feels like he doesn't care, or it's not enough to disturb him enough from his nap that he is having. And if you're in that situation as a mom, again, I'm going to say this a million times because it's just something you need to know. You are not alone in these thoughts. God is not surprised by you thinking that he doesn't care. God is a big God. He can handle those emotions. So if you need to tell him, God, I don't think you care about how hard this is for me, or why is nothing getting any better even though I'm praying and wishing and even fasting for situations to change? Why are you still napping in the middle of my storm? So I said said Luke 8 had the story, but if you go over to Mark 4, 35 through 41, when you get to verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And for the past few weeks of my motherhood and in times in the past, and I'm positive times in the future, there are going to be times where I feel like I'm drowning in the storm of my motherhood, where it just feels like in the hardest moments, where I feel like I'm alone, or that nothing's getting better, or that I'm doing all the wrong things, that I'm dealing with the mom guilt, or I'm dealing with feeling inadequate, or lost, or forgetting who I am, that it feels like Jesus is just napping and doesn't even care if I drown. But that's never where God leaves the story. Because the next part is that he wakes up and he stands up and the first thing he does is says, be still, and the storm stops. God is more powerful than the storm you're going through as a mother. And it may seem like while he's quiet that he doesn't care or that he's not going to do anything. And that's not true, even though it feels like it in the moment. And there have been plenty of times in the past couple weeks where I have asked God, where are you? Don't you care if I drown? Where I have accused God of not even being willing to wake up to the situation that I am in and the pain and the trauma or the scared or whatever it is that I'm feeling where I feel like he's not there. But he's powerful enough to calm the storm with the simple phrase, be still. And then after Jesus did that with the storm, he looked at his disciples and said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And I always felt like that was a reprimand. Where's your faith and why aren't you living in it? And part of me, this is not like a biblical exegesis. I'm not sitting here looking at the Hebrew or anything. But when you look at Luke 8 in verse 24, it says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging sea. But it doesn't say he rebuked the disciples. It just says he asked them, where is your faith? And Jesus doesn't ask questions of people unless he wants them to really dig deep in it and be introspective to that. Where is your faith now, Mama? Jesus wants to know. Not that he doesn't know, because he knows everything and he wants you to know where your faith is. And for them, the disciples, they were confused because they didn't realize how much power he had. So maybe this storm you're having as a mama, this motherhood journey full of storms and raging waters, might be helping us realize how powerful our God really is. A reminder that when we're in those storms and when he calms it, where's your faith? In me. The one who just calmed the storm, even when you thought I was sleeping and not paying attention. Now, I am not saying that God is just going to magically calm your storm one day when he wakes up from his nap of whatever we think is napping is going on. He doesn't always just make the problem go away. There's always more to it than that, especially when it comes to the dynamic of trying to grow you as a mother and grow your children, because he loves them just as much as he loves you, and he loves them more than you do. So I don't want you thinking that I'm saying that one day God's just going to magically poof, all of the problem is going to disappear, but there will be a time where you can look back and see where he was going. And that is the whole point of this episode. And that is the whole point of my podcast, is to come to this point. And I'm going to do what I do with my interviews. And we're going to talk about the last three things in a specific order. We're going to talk about God's faithfulness, even in motherhood. The first thing I ask whenever I'm talking to anyone on this podcast is, how has God proven his faithfulness to you in your journey of whatever it is? Sometimes it's infertility. Sometimes it's marriage issues. Sometimes it's motherhood issues. This whole series that I've got, I think 12 episodes on total. If you need encouragement, that's about 6 hours of it right there. You can look through and see how people find God's faithfulness in every situation, no matter how bleak, no matter how hard. Sometimes it's really great things where God is just proving how wonderful he is and how great your life is. And other times it's God proving his faithfulness to you, even when it's dark and you don't know where he is and the storm is there and you feel like he's sleeping. God is always faithful. And that is the thing that I have had to hold on to despite how I felt about it. It was literally a physical choice that I had to make in the past couple of months is that I have been researching this for 3 years and I have not yet once met a person that said God wasn't faithful when they really put their faith in God. And that is people who have lost their children. They have lost people they love. They have been through hard things. God is going to prove himself faithful in your story. He never leaves your story in ashes. When I'm sitting here dealing with temper tantrums or issues where my children are not developing in the way that I want them to, my motherhood is not looking the way I want it to, I epically fail and scream at my kids, or worse, and motherhood just doesn't look how I thought it was going to. God is still faithful. So since the beginning of summer, when every day, literally after school ended, left me in cold sweats when I woke up in the morning, not knowing what the day was going to look like, feeling like I was trapped in my house, trying to live up to the expectations of keeping my kids safe, happy, healthy, not losing all the stuff that they learned in school that year, all of the things, the responsibilities, and the hormones of growing two more of them, because I don't know how to do it enough with three, let alone five, and two at the same time with sleep deprivation and gradually growing more and more incapable of doing things as I get bigger. Yeah, I'm currently in my 6 month of pregnancy right now. I don't know what the future looks like when it comes to motherhood for me. And that's scary too. That's a whole other thing, is we who love control, which is many a mom, don't know what the future holds. And sometimes it's more obvious than others that we don't know what the future holds. So if you're like me, in the middle of a storm of not knowing how to help your special needs kid or child that is in some sort of struggle with either choices that they've made or relationships that they're going through, or things where you just don't know how to help them and things aren't getting better. When you've got the responsibility of multiple children, or that one is just enough, you know, I'm not saying those of you who only have one child have less of a struggle, because that is absolutely not the case. It's just different. But if you have all of these different relationships and responsibilities, and you've got so many things riding on your shoulders, and you are trying to hold on to it all by yourself, all alone, not finding those people to talk to, that's the storm. So for me recently, this storm has looked like those mornings where I woke up in cold sweats, where I messed up, where I felt like I wasn't living up to my expectations, where I physically couldn't do the responsibilities that I've normally been able to do to keep the house at least relatively clean, not being able to keep up with things that need to be done in general. When you're in those times of life, how has God proven he's faithful? When I look back, it's easy, because I can see where he got me through situations that I didn't have the energy for, or he allowed me to have a conversation with my children where I asked for forgiveness, which is a whole other thing that we need to talk about sometime, is being able to admit to your kids when you failed, because there is no shame in that. And actually, I think they're better off when they realize that we're not perfect. That takes some of the expectations off of them as they grow. But when God has given me grace for myself, when God has shown me that he forgives me despite not living up to what I think my motherhood should look like, and not even remembering to ask him what my motherhood should look like, God has put people in my life when I felt like I was losing my mind that I knew I could reach out to. He gave me a husband that knows how to deal what I call the velvet brick, where he tells you truth in love in a way that usually isn't super painful. It's kind of, you know, the velvet softness can take away some of the hardness of the truth that needs to be done, but he also knows how to take that velvet off when you need as well. And when I look at God's faithfulness over how I've studied it, I realized that I need to do more. If I hadn't spent the last 3 years trying to understand God's faithfulness, it would be so much harder to see. But faithfulness to me is a bridge, hence the name Bridge of the Faithful, where God connected us to him by doing all of the work himself. He supplied the resources for the bridge. He made the connection. He decided to place me close to that bridge. He provides the stability of that bridge. And he has done that, all of it, even when I didn't see him working. And the only way I can know that is when I look back at how he's done it in the past. So when you're in those moments where you don't see God, where it's too dark, it's too turbulent for you to even anchor anything, your emotions or your physical health or anything in God, the thing that has kept me going in all of this, and I've needed reminders from other people, it's not something that I have down, it's not something that I have in my heart ready to go all the time, especially in the hard times. It's easy for that to flip away. But when you can see and remember how God has been faithful to you in the past is when you know you can trust him in the now and in the future. When I was really in the thick of being thrown in so many different ways this summer with how I was feeling with everything going on, I was reminded of last year in March when all of the quarantining happened, and I went through very similar situation. It's different because your kids grow every year. They get kind of bigger, and so they get a little bit harder to contain. Last year in March when I was dealing with the massive raging temper tantrums and all of the drama of having three kids in quarantine time. They were smaller, they were more restrainable, they were easier to control in that sense physically to keep them from doing things. And in the past year, they've grown and therefore things change. But when I can look back and think how God got us through all of that and how I felt at that time, that helped give me courage to keep going this time. And next time, whenever I'm going through a hard time where it feels like Jesus is taking a nap on my life again, I can remember how he got us through the infertility, how he got us through the diagnosis of special needs, how he got me through having three children and soon to be five. So someday I'll be able to look back and think how God got me through the sleep deprivation time of having twins with a special needs son and five children total with school and all of that stuff. God's going to prove he's faithful in every situation, and I need to remember that. I need to write it down, or I need to do what I've been doing as a podcast. You do not have to do a podcast, but you need to find a way where you can mark where God's been faithful in your life so that you can hold on to that. So you can look back at those Ebenezer stones or whatever it is that helps you remember where God has really taken hold of your life despite how you felt, how God said, be still to the storm, how God actually cared about where your faith is and helping you know where your faith is as well. And that has what has gotten me through this time where I'm just now starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The other part of faithfulness is, yes, God provided that bridge. It's there. It's stable. It's perfect. It's there to connect me to God, but I have to make the choice to step on that bridge. So when Jesus looks at me in the middle of my storm where I'm wondering where he's at, when Jesus looks at me in that and asks me, where is my faith? I need to remember to step onto that bridge and step toward him. For me, there were days where I didn't. I literally stood at the end of that bridge yelling at God in the echo of the chasm of whatever that bridge is going over, telling him he didn't care. Where are you? Why don't you care about what I'm feeling? Why am I so alone? There were days that I've done that. And the good news is that God's faithfulness doesn't depend on mine. If I'm standing there yelling at God because of the situation that I'm in and where I'm not happy with where he's at in it, he doesn't make that bridge go away. He doesn't disintegrate the bridge. The stability of that bridge does not depend on my ability to keep up strong and keep my faith. God's faithfulness is not dependent on my ability to be faithful to him. But when I step on that bridge, when I step toward God, is when the storm looks a little different and I'm reminded of all the things that he's protecting me from and getting me through, getting me over to get closer to him. That's what it takes, is that step onto the bridge. For me this time around, and this is not something you have to do, but I highly encourage it. The last two times I've been through these dark mom journeys is I worked on memorizing scripture so that when I was at my end and I didn't know what to do and I just needed to have something to focus on other than how horrible of a mom I am or how awful motherhood can be sometimes, was that I could focus on his word. So for me this time, I worked on Romans 8. You find the verse or the passage or the chapter. I do a whole chapter because that gives me more stuff to chew on. But if you just want to start with a verse or whatever that you can focus on and try to memorize while you're dealing with your struggle, it really changes your perspective. And honestly, that's the biggest thing I've done both times with my major motherhood issues. What I think God wanted me to learn, but was that when I focus on his word and his promises, I can anchor myself despite what situation I'm in. And the last thing I do in interviews or any situation that I have an episode going on about, there's lots of different solo episodes at the beginning. I've done a lot more interviews recently, so you'll see that there. But one thing I always do is that we end with a verse. And I always ask the person why they picked that verse. And as I rack my brain to try to figure out what verse would end this well. I could talk about Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or where even in that chapter as well, he talks about how he's content in situations. We can talk about Romans 8, where nothing can separate us from the love of God, despite our own choices or what's coming at us, and how suffering can be something that God uses to glorify him. So many different things, but the one that really seemed right is Psalm 126, 4 through 6. And this isn't because I'm such a Bible scholar and I know so many different verses and how they apply to your life. This is actually because I was sitting there praying, asking God how I should end this episode. And it was my verse of the day that popped up on my Bible app. I don't claim to have all of the Bible understood or memorized or anything like that, where I just pull verses out of my pocket and happened to have the perfect one. But it just seemed like the right section to kind of close up what I'm trying to say. And the biggest thing is that we've got to anchor ourselves in Jesus, and we've got to remember that he's faithful despite where we feel or despite what we're going through. There's going to be times where we're in despair, but when we keep going and we remember to look to God, he's going to bless that. That's the other part of faithfulness, is when we show just the tiniest bit of faithfulness toward God, when despite my yelling temper tantrums toward God about how I'm having temper tantrums in my own house, I totally see the irony of that. When I finally remember to pick myself back up and know who loves me and who is in charge of my life and who's got me taken care of, when I step back on that bridge, he's going to bless that so much. So Psalm 126, 4 through 6 talks about how the psalmist has had fortune and it's become a desert, how they're sorrowful, but they still keep going and they still plant their seed. And God makes this promise in this psalm that we will harvest with shouts of joy and that there will be singing despite our tears. And those of you in the mama journey where there are more tears than joy, and there's going to be those times, I'm in those times. You're not alone. When you are in your motherhood journey where things are darker and you don't want to go on, you want to just leave, you want to restart, you want a new you, you want to get away from the things that are either terrifying or hard, or you feel like you can't live up to an expectation that you've made for yourself. Likely, it's likely an expectation you've made for yourself and not something that anyone else has put on you. Or if it is someone else, it's not God who's put that on you. But when you choose to continue sowing those seeds in this journey of motherhood that is so beautiful, but so hard, that God is going to bless those seeds. When you plant them and you don't know if they're going to grow or what they're going to grow into, sometimes we're planting seeds and we don't even know what that seed is. But God is faithful to do something with it. When you don't know what you're doing and you're just poking holes and putting things down, hoping that something grows, God is going to do something with that. He's going to bless it because his faithfulness is so much greater than yours. And his faithfulness does not depend on your ability to know how to farm or how to be a mom. When you're in that time of motherhood where you just want to give up because it feels like everything you're doing is haphazard or wrong or just not good enough. When you feel like you're in a desert because you're not seeing the fruit of all the things that you've put into, and all the love and all the tears and all the time and all the care. When you don't see anything coming and you're so thirsty in that desert of motherhood that we get into, God is faithful. And he will restore your singing. Psalm 126, 4 through 6. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest.
This has been episode 56 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Secret Confessions of a Mom Who Wants to Quit. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/56. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.